And let's talk about what we do know in regards to the Chicago Bears. Number one, Jalen Johnson is going to be a longtime member of the Chicago Bears. And where did I hear that? Oh, that's right. I told you. Like, I don't want to be the kind of guy that comes out and says, I told you so, but I absolutely told you all that this was going to be something that happened. That the whole, it's a dance that they go through. And by the way, forgive me as I'm retweeting, re-Xing, whatever we're doing, getting this back out to everybody because we're doing this live right now. So, but the thing with Jalen Johnson is I knew that it was going to be an opportunity to just kind of extend the deadline. And again, much like a lot of us, put off some routine maintenance, some routine, you know, appointments or anything like that. The Bears had a window up until July 15th. So if anything, the Bears are ahead of the game getting this done with Jalen Johnson. But we got so much more to talk about. So why don't we do this to get everybody an opportunity to log in and get ready to go. Sammy, let's start the show.
Turn up your volume. Because you're about to listen to The Sick Podcast with Adam Ray.
Trying to cut it back. Justin Fields making magic happen. There goes Fields. Touchdown.
The Sickest Chicago Bears and Fantasy Football Podcast. Sports entertainment like no other. It's going to be sick.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to a live edition of our traditional weekend sick podcast. We decided to jump on board because, number one, we had some breaking news yesterday with Jalen Johnson. There are some rumors floating around about our friend Justin Fields. And so we do want to take an opportunity to talk about that right now. By the way, if any of our regulars, regular guests on the show are around, hit up Sammy. Let me know if you're around. You know who I'm talking about. But in any event, we'll talk about Justin Fields in a moment, but I want to go back and reiterate the point that we are talking about with Jalen Johnson, because again, going into the franchise tag, I know a lot of people were disappointed. It's interesting because the Bears were in a very similar situation to where they were with Roquan Smith. And when we had Roquan Smith, there really wasn't, it didn't really make a lot of sense to reset the quarter or the linebacker market at that point. There were some questions about Roquan Smith, and obviously he's gone on and flourished with the Baltimore Ravens. It is one of those things too, that once you get to a certain team, because I think a lot of AP voters vote for the helmet more so than the players, like a linebacker for the Baltimore Ravens is going to get a lot more all-pro votes than a linebacker for the Chicago Bears. It shouldn't be that way because the Bears have historically been the model franchise for linebackers. Baltimore has been very good since the 2000s, but I think over the course of the NFL history, it's been the Chicago Bears, but that's okay. Hopefully the Bears can get back into that mix very soon. You have to be good to get that kind of accolation. You know what I'm saying? Like there's a certain reason why Patrick Mahomes gets a lot of calls and, you know, Trey Lance might not. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, there's certain quarterbacks that get away with certain, you know, that's the way that is. So anybody who is upset with the way that the Bears handled the Roquan Smith situation, and it's fair, you know, you traded a great player who went on to be an all-pro, but did get some draft capital back, were able to sign two players for the price of one. And however you feel about Tremaine Edmonds or TJ Edwards, both of those players did pretty well last year, especially TJ Edwards was a great pickup. So you got a kind of a two for one. For the Bears to go out there and make this move for Jalen Johnson was indeed the proper move, because number one, it shows that, listen, we're going to be investing in our own players where it warrants. And a couple of years ago, it probably didn't make sense to do that. You know, at some point you had to do a rebuild. So that meant guys like Khalil Mack, Roquan Smith, Bobby Quinn, they were going to be traded away. Even David Montgomery was allowed to walk out the door. But what we're going to be seeing over the next couple of years is a Bears team that's probably going to hold on to as much talent as possible, especially when you bring in talent. And it's amusing because Ryan Poles loves to talk about building through the draft, but he's done a pretty good job of trading away his, I guess he's built through the draft. If you trade a second round pick for Montez Sweat, you're still sort of building through the draft. But, you know, starting with Montez Sweat, you extended him, you made the trade that a lot of people questioned, and then you extend him. You've now extended Jalen Johnson when there was an opportunity to trade him during the season last year, and there was a lot of calls for it. you know, there were a lot of people who were like, hey, you know what? Get what you can for Jalen Johnson. He's going to fetch probably a pretty decent return, probably a better return than Roquan Smith did. But Ryan Poles was committed to bringing him back, and we saw that, and it worked out, and now Jalen Johnson is back. Now, there is an interview that's floating around right now with Jalen Johnson talking about Justin Fields. And obviously, this lends itself to the popularity of Justin Fields with his own teammates. Jalen Johnson said something very interesting this week, or recently, or this is a recent interview, where he said that trading away Justin Fields is the easy way out. Like, there is taking the easy way out. And we saw Mike Trout talk about this earlier this offseason, where he was talking about Shohei Ohtani going and joining the Dodgers. Like, there is an easy way out for certain players and coaches and things like that. I really do believe that the players love Justin Fields and have rallied around him at great length. And what Jalen Johnson was saying is like, you know what? You don't put any accountability on the coaching staff, rather, if you trade him away. If you just are like, well, we're just going to restart. If you don't take an opportunity to sit there and try to build with who you're doing, you know, and I mentioned this yesterday, that perhaps signing Jalen Johnson meant that they were going to do that. They were going to take the cheaper way out. Like, they were going to extend the quarterback clock so you could start to extend some of the players like Jalen Johnson. But Jalen went at it a different way. He said, listen, you're really letting the coaching staff off the hook for not developing a player that a lot of us agree is pretty good, has a lot of skills coming out of Ohio State. You know, he was a top 15 pick. You know, there was a lot of draft capital invested in bringing him to Chicago. So it is an interesting point of view for Jalen Johnson. And now word comes out today, and we do have this tweet that we're going to bring up. Sam, if we can bring this up. This was from our friend Mikey Bear Down Cuz, who says, I have it from a source as close to the situation as you could be at this point that Justin Fields is, in fact, staying in Chicago, barring something very unforeseen or drastic. Still no official word on what the Bears do with the 1.1 pick. And of course, Mikey Bear Down Cuz is not a newsbreaker by trade, but has no reason to make stuff up. We've known him for a number of years now. If you followed his channel, if you followed his work at all, he is not a newsbreaker like this. So for him to go out, like, he doesn't make stuff up, is what I'm saying. And I know that there's a lot of people who are questioning this, questioning the validity, and you have every right to do that. Don't attack the man. He is a good man. He's a good bloke. He's a reputable person. And if it turns out that Justin Fields is traded, then go back and then we'll laugh at him. He'll laugh at himself. Like, he does not take himself that seriously that he wouldn't go out there. And listen, I've been in this position before where I've had people tell me things where, hey, listen, you know, I was told a year ago, somebody very close to the situation, that like Ohtani did not want to play for the Dodgers. $700 million will change your mind. And it makes me wonder if this is some sort of negotiating tactic by Ryan Poles. Because there's a couple of things here that I know that everybody reads this and they're like, well, if nobody else in the NFL wants him, then why do we want to start with him? We're not necessarily saying that, because in the tweet, he still mentions that we don't know what the Bears are going to do with 1.1. This does not mean that the Bears could be trading that first overall pick, perhaps moving down or doing anything like that. There could be two things happening at the same time where the Bears have decided, well, number one, nobody's going to give us anything for Justin Fields, so we're not just going to release him. They could also decide, like, we're still drafting Caleb Williams. Now, this is not a great situation. We talked about this on the Wednesday night show with our guy Josh Strock, is that it's not a great situation when you have a quarterback who's already very popular with his teammates. We've seen virtually every member of the Chicago Bears go to bat for Justin Fields. So it would be very difficult to be in that locker room. Think about like our guy, Tyler Scott. Like, if the Bears don't have Justin Fields and Caleb Williams shows up and then Tyler Scott can sell his number 13 jersey, it's cool. What do you do if Justin's still there? And you got to be like, well, I don't want to pick a side. I don't want to look like I'm playing favorites or anything like that. It's going to be very difficult. It is a very difficult situation to manage, but it's also not unprecedented. And we talked, again, we talked about this on Wednesday. The 49ers were put into this position a couple of years ago where they had Jimmy Garoppolo on the team and they still drafted Trey Lance. Jimmy Garoppolo was out practicing in his own practice field, doing his own thing. The Bears could very well, and even though Ryan Poles said that he's going to do right by Justin Fields, if nobody wants to trade for him, and Michael Lombardi was on, you know, recently too, not with us, but was out there saying like, yeah, teams just don't want to trade for him. And nobody, and the Bears are also in a spot too where teams know that they're probably drafting a quarterback. So why would you offer them a second round pick? I thought it was ridiculous that people suggested it was the first pick, and that, you know, they were giving up a first round pick. Even a second round pick seemed robust. You think about the Sam Darnold thing a couple of years ago, but Sam Darnold was going down to Carolina to be a starter. So unless a team like the Steelers or the Atlanta Falcons have decided, well, Justin Fields is going to be our starter, and there's still so much work to be done because the quarterbacks, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know if, you know, we don't know where any of these quarterbacks are going to go. And so for right now, the Bears can be like, listen, we're not trading them. Like, we're not just going to give them away. Like, if the best trade possibility out there is, let's say it's the, I'm not, I don't have any, I'm, I don't know. Let's say a team is offered, like, I don't want to put a team to this. So I'll just say, it's team offered a conditional fourth round pick with the opportunity to move up. But the Bears could be like, nah, that's not enough. We need a little bit more. Like, he is a starter in the NFL. So I really do believe that there is some case to be made where, you know, the Bears just might wait this out, and it could be a terrible situation. And it could be a situation where Justin Fields is not practicing with the team, where Justin Fields is still a member of the Chicago Bears, but is not at minicamp. He's not here. He's not there. He's, you know, he's not doing these things. And it's very much like the Jimmy Garoppolo situation. And of course, fans will come out and be like, well, that would be the Bears' way to do it. True. But the team that we're talking about that most recently went through this was in the Super Bowl, has been to multiple Super Bowls over the last couple of years. So it's not necessarily a thing of the Bears blowing this. Like, this is the way the NFL works. And sometimes when you draft a quarterback, yeah, it gets a little bit ugly, and you got to kind of sit there and wear it and be like, all right, we don't know what we're doing with this guy. And, but this guy's still on the team. I mean, they did it. They did get rid of Trubisky, but you know, they did it with Andy Dalton and it didn't work out with Justin Fields. But again, like, the 49ers showed, like, this is something that can happen. So this doesn't necessarily mean that Caleb Williams is not going to be the pick, or Drake May, or Jaden Daniels, or one of those guys, perhaps even trading down. We saw it last year too, you know, because this was, I know the exact date was the 13th. I'm questioning whether it was the Friday before free agency started. I know because I was on Total Access. They gave me 3 minutes to talk about how great Ryan Poles was, and I did. And it's a great video. And I'll be wearing that suit again next week, going out there, hopefully talking about a very similar circumstance. So for me, and I want to make sure. And so for me, I look at this as, you know, something the Bears just might have to work through. And again, you know, they're trying to get as much leverage for Justin Fields, but outside of the Chase Claypool thing, outside of that, which, hey, that's the fallback for everybody. Everybody's fallback. The gab of Chase Claypool. Like, it doesn't matter. I know that the Bears will, you know, eventually win a Super Bowl with Ryan Poles as the GM. And then whoever is interviewing him on the stage will eventually be like, yeah, but what about the Chase Claypool thing? I know that you just won the Super Bowl. Like, congratulations, Ryan Poles. But what were you thinking trading for Chase Claypool? Because that's just the way that goes. Because people, that's just the way society works. Like, you never can just celebrate somebody and be like, hey, he's doing a pretty good job. Like, obviously, he's made some mistakes. You know what I'm saying? Like, your favorite pizza place is giving you a bad pie or a bad slice once in a while. It happens. You know what I'm saying? Like, mistakes are made. Like, even the Kansas City Chiefs lost the Super Bowl. But you lost to the, like, who cares? So I have every bit of confidence in Ryan Poles that he is going to end up doing the right thing. He's going to get as creative as possible. Whatever he does is going to be the best that he can do. Because remember last year, you know, he was waiting around for the Houston Texans to figure out what they wanted to do with the number two overall pick. Now, Houston played that very well. They're like, nah, we'll be fine with CJ Stroud. I think we're going to have this. Like, we have some other things we're going to do. And they ended up getting Will Anderson, and it all worked out for them. But Ryan Poles was just like, fine, you know what? We're going to take Carolina's offer. They were going to try to get one of the defenders. They said no. Like, well, then give us DJ Moore. And they're like, okay. And it worked out probably better for us because one of those guys is going to be available in free agency now, if I'm not mistaken. I got to go back. I'm going through the research right now. It's going to be a big week next week for the NFL Network with the free agency and everything. But I still have confidence that Ryan Poles is going to do the right thing. The one thing that I will bring up, and this is something that I see, and other people have brought this up on Twitter, if you'll give me a second, is that the whole notion of nobody wants Justin Fields, so we're going to start him, which is kind of a weird, like, it would be a weird way to do business. Like, if you've decided that Caleb Williams is your guy, or just say Caleb Williams. If you've decided Caleb Williams is your guy, but then you're like, well, nobody wants Justin Fields, so we'll just, that's just such a terrible way to live your life. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not the way that you should do things. Like, well, you know what? Like, I guess, like, when you, like, it's almost like it's like one of your friends that you made an arrangement with during prom, where you're like, listen, if we can't find somebody that we really want to go to the prom with, we'll go with each other. And then, you know what? You went out and you did that. I didn't even have that person. What are we doing? Who's coming on? Oh my God.
Look at you.
Look at you.
Look at you.
Oh my God. Draft Dr. Phil. I put out the bat signal and yes. All of a sudden you answered. I guess yes. I should be reading the notes. There's liner notes over here. Like, hey, we have a surprise guest. Oh, they didn't even tell me. How are you?
I'm home with a sick kid.
Oh no. Which one? Yeah. Is it Tate?
Dev.
Oh.
He's feeling better today.
Okay,
he's
good.
He's had a few days off.
All right.
So what are
we're gonna do the weekend? Oh, the miraculous comeback on Friday afternoon. Oh, I'm good for the weekend.
Yeah,
I get it. That's okay. Listen, I appreciate the game. Anybody who can pull that off.
Well, I can tell you that from my sources.
Yeah.
I happen to be very close to the situation.
Yeah.
Caleb Williams will be 100% the first pick in the draft.
Who's taking him?
By the Chicago Bears, baby. Let's go. Let's go. Now I'm talking. I got to get that out for all these haters out there. I've never seen anything.
We talked about this because Bear Down Cuz, we've all been on the air at the same time with the Bear Down Cuz. We love him. And it's like, there's no reason to attack the person who's just telling you what we've heard. And like, you can be whatever way you want to be. Like, this was what Mikey sent out earlier, that he had it from a source close to the situation that close to the situation. It's close. It could be to this
type of source.
Yeah. But that Justin Fields is in fact staying in Chicago, barring something very unforeseen, drastic. Still no official word on what the Bears would do with the 1.1 pick. What I was just saying a moment ago was, I think that what you're saying and what Mikey Bear Down Cuz is saying could both be true. Like, is there a possibility? Cause what if, cause like Michael Lombardi came out today, I think it was today. And he was you know what, listen, nobody wants to trade for Justin Fields. Could it be a situation similar to what San Francisco did a couple of years ago with Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance, where they're like, all right, well, we're going to keep Justin. We're not just giving him away. Right. Could we see both guys on this roster?
Listen, you're not going to just decide to cut the guy.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think it's very important that Bears fans and people understand that if Justin Fields was the guy that they were going to hitch their wagons to, there would be no Ryan Poles saying we're going to do right by Justin. They have done all their homework. They have talked to everybody in regards to this football player. Dave Kaplan, close friend of mine, as you know, he has shared with me a lot of his information that it correlates with what I've been asking. I've talked to coaches that have coached this kid, Caleb Williams. They can't speak higher of the person. So all of the negative narratives that were written, first, he's 5'11". You have media in Chicago, double, triple. Now he's going to be 5'11". I've never seen such divisiveness, but we'll just start here. Every box that Caleb Williams could check, he's checked.
Yeah.
It all starts with our network, the tape. The tape never lied. This is the best quarterback. I was on this show with you and Carmi V.
Yeah.
And I told you way back then, it's not even a close. Carmi said the same thing. It's Caleb Williams all the way, because you're trying to chase greatness. This isn't a shot at Justin, but the same issues I saw with him in Ohio State with 4 or 5 first round talents at receiver, let alone the offensive line, tight end, all these draftable talents. He has never been able to improve from that point forward. It's the same thing over and over and over again. So all I'm saying is, after I've done all the film work, so I can go, I've challenged anybody. I go, bring this tape that you're talking about, because all of a sudden Darnell Mooney doesn't become bad. It just doesn't happen. He's the 1,000-yard receiver. Everyone was fighting whether he's a 1 or a 2. Now all of a sudden he's back.
Now he's a 4. Yeah.
Now he's a freaky. Oh, he's an afterthought. The Bears are going to look to improve every position. We have to look at that. Mm-hmm. And that's what Ryan Poles is. That's how the job should be. Look at the past. What talent at quarterback have they had despite Justin Fields? Because I'm not saying he's bad. He's average. He has not improved. That's just hours of film study. And the league is telling you that same thing. Right? So the reality is, you have to, as a franchise that got a gift card, or I call it the Powerball, winner. You got the Powerball winner. You own the draft. Now you could take the best quarterback that personally I've ever scouted. He's better than Andrew Luck. He's better than them all that I have scouted. And that's the truth. I'm not blowing smoke. I'm just, now that's the starting point. That's his floor. He comes in as an elite level talent out of college. And people start getting, oh, you're saying he's going to be on the same career arc as Mahomes. He has stylistic points on tape that I've showed every patron we have. We sat there watching game tape. We're not watching highlights. We're watching game tape. And it looks like a 2.5-hour highlight reel because of what he's able to do with the football. You talk about passing angles, release, footwork, his ability to move up in the pocket. I'm telling you, it's like Dan Marino.
Yeah.
Like, he just squares. His head is always down the field. There was these guys trying to sell that he's a one-read guy. I'm destroying every narrative with tape. And every patron that's in this show and every patron could tell you or in the chat that I've done this. And, you know, I see the Mac Jones. I have never hidden. I had Trevor Lawrence 1. Mac Jones 2,
that's
Justin Fields 3. I've never hidden from that. And if we really take a step back and look at Mac Jones versus Justin Fields, Mac Jones has had a better NFL career according to the statistics. Whether you want to fight that or not, when he had a competent OC, he threw for 3,800 yards in his rookie year.
They went to the playoffs too, if I remember correctly.
Playoffs. I mean, you got narratives.
I would say you should ask Kyle Shanahan if he regrets not getting Mac Jones. Because that's one of those guys that I kind of feel like, again, you know, sometimes coaching does matter. But what about, like, with Caleb Williams, there was a lot of the things that and this goes beyond. I live in Southern California, as you know. And I'll be out on the driving range, and I'll have to listen to people being like, hey, you know, like, I didn't like that he went up to his mother and all that. And I'm like, okay, that stuff aside from itself, a lot of times when you watch Caleb Williams, you see similar things to like Justin Fields, where it's like, does he get out of the pocket too early? I know that USC,
it's not there on tape. It's not there. It's 100. The stopwatch scouts, all of these manipulative stats, they're not the same thing. So when Caleb is in the pocket, he's actually eyes downfield, recognizing rush, stepping up, stepping back, always looking down the field. He'll even escape and tap dance the line of scrimmage or threaten those backers. And he's able to whip the football in the air in such accuracy with anticipation. It's just over and over. So like the Justin Fields and Caleb Williams hold the ball the longest. Well, you're not watching tape. You're just reading a PFF stat based on how long. I'm watching the tape and this kid's manipulating the pass rush. Thus, he's having the ball and finding an open receiver after he's been able to escape whatever pressure is around him. He's not looking to run. They run RPO. He was supposed to be fine. He's short. He's short, Adam. He comes in at 6'1 1/8".
Yeah.
He's not short. He has no NFL arm. He has the arm. He could throw every ball. He's very accurate. He's the best anticipation passer I've seen since Andrew Luck. But I put him on. He looks so much like Aaron Rodgers. It becomes very, very freaky at some points what he does. And that's his idol. That's how he patterns his game. You could see it sometimes come off on the tape.
And what did you think? Because we didn't get a chance to talk about this, but I had a very strong take on this. What did you think about him not giving up his medicals? What was your read? Like you are somebody very old school. Yes. Your family are Connecticut coaching legends. Right. What did you make of him not giving up his medicals?
I felt like, okay, I've talked to several players that have been through the NFL scouting combine. To a man, every one of them, the excitement of meeting their goals and dreams, and all of these men were not the number one prospect in the draft, to be transparent. The one thing they all said they dreaded the most was going through every doctor, poking and prodding every part of their body. So they went to the Vikings, they went to the Bears, they went to the Jags, they went to the Giants, and it became over and over that you're doing that for 6 hours. He obviously has been told you're going to be a top three pick. You're probably the number one pick. And what are you going to say within regards to that? He decided, listen, I don't want to go through that. I'll just do it for the teams that are going to draft me.
Yeah.
He had players at the combine applauding him, saying, listen, you're the voice for us. You obviously are in a position of power because of your draft status that you might change this whole thing where it's not a cattle breed festival that it feels like. And you're not being poked and prodded. So I don't have a problem with that at all. The Bears are going to meet with him. I am old school.
No, but my point is the same as yours. Is like, why do we have to do this? Why do we want, let's say that he is going to be a member of the Chicago Bears. Why do I want the, why do I want the Green Bay Packers and the Vikings and the Lions looking at him? Like, I appreciate you not doing that. And I think this is something that should have been changed a long time ago. And we're going to see it now because the players are now getting more control. We see with the NIL deals and all this stuff. And it might only pertain to the top players in the league. You know, it might only really matter to Caleb Williams and Marvin Harrison Jr. But I still think that it's good to be done.
I agree. I think if you make changes and you stand by your stances, listen, more power to you. He could change every person. To a man that has played.
Yeah.
Even Chris Zorich was like, Phil, that was the worst part of the combine.
Well, I mentioned
get rid of that.
Yeah, I mentioned this on Wednesday. Like, we've all seen Tom Brady in his underwear because of the combine. Mm-hmm. And it's something that gets brought up like all the time. And Tom Brady has said, like, I hate that photo. And people laugh, like, yeah, okay, but like, no, like, I understand. Like, that's a terrible photo. Like, that you don't want that stuff out there. And that's the stuff that kind of happens when that, these guys have to go through that.
Well, it's on one level, people strive to get to that point. On another level, it becomes the underwear Olympics.
Yes.
And an embarrassment. We've seen some things happen at the combine over
I kind of hate the combine. And I've made no mistake about it. I told this story on Wednesday night that I get text messages from our social media team like, hey, really cool that you're tweeting about Arsenal and all these other things in spring training. Like, do you mind throwing out a tweet about the combine? I'm like, I don't like, here's the thing about the combine. And this is my most damning piece of evidence of the combine. Yeah. What was it? However many years Cooper Kupp's been in the league, he went to the Senior Bowl out of Eastern Washington and dominated. And everybody's like, hey, we kind of overlooked him. He's a stud. Let's draft him in the first round. And then he goes to the Underwear Olympics and his 40 time is a tick slow. Like, ah, this guy can't play football. So like, you looked at the thing that he's supposed to be doing for a living and said, he's excellent at that. Not great at running around in Under Armour spandex. I'm out. Like, that's the dumbest.
He ran a 4.7.
Who cares?
Or 4.6. I can't remember. But to your point, I remember that.
It's what I ran in college. But I remember the number is very similar to what I ran in college. And I'm like, it doesn't matter because that guy can play football and I can't. You know?
Listen, the tape said of Cooper Kupp that he was a precision
stud
expert route runner, that he can separate based on quickness and understanding the stem of the route. As a receiver myself in college, playing in the run and shoot, if you're playing in the slot, you have to be able to act at the route, the stem, and be able to do. He was phenomenal at it. And
diagnosing
thus,
it, yeah, all that.
Diagnosing, stuff. Understanding where to attack a person's shoulder to make them turn so you can separate the opposite way or get out the back door or go create leverage for yourself. And he's continued that process to your point. You know, Wes Welker was undrafted. Wayne Corbett, undrafted. He was my teammate at Hofstra. Those guys, you know, when you see expert route running, the Underwear Olympics, the 40 times, they're part of the process. They really are. But you can also get those at the pro day, and you also can get the medicals at the pro day or the meeting. You also can, you know, the tape doesn't lie on these guys. That's where you want to see, like Brian Thomas Jr. The tape tells me this guy can separate and is special. Now you look at Jaden Daniels and all of these guys coming out of the woodwork, especially Dan Orlovsky. And I could tell Dan probably hasn't watched any tape to recognize he's just throwing stuff out there for clicks. Jaden Daniels.
No. Is he still upset that your team beat him when he was in high school?
I still believe.
You say that's still the case?
Yes.
What high school were you coaching that beat Dan Orlovsky?
Lyman Hall High School.
That's right.
The Trojans.
The Trojans of Lyman Hall.
USC talks about Trojan. It's coming full circle.
There it is. We've done the we've done the danger zone thing. It's all come back around. But yeah, that's the thing too. Is like I can see. Like I've said this all along, and I understand the math of sticking with Caleb Williams. That's why I shut down I will be apocalyptic if they traded. Like, I know how you feel. If they traded down and they're like, hey, we're trading down to 8 or 9 or whatever it is. As long as they're drafting like Joe Alt, Marvin Harrison Jr., Roma Dunze or whatever, like I'm fine with it. If they go for Drake May or these guys are in every draft. They're in every draft. There's not a Caleb Williams in every draft, which is why I'm sort of like, I love Justin Fields, but I'm like, I'm okay with it.
Well, you and I are very good friends, like brothers.
Yes.
You have been pro Justin Fields. I'm pro Caleb, right?
And I don't hate you for
it. Like, personally, me and you aren't fighting. The divisiveness is so like, I have a job to do.
Yeah.
My job is to analyze the tape, and I know that I'm putting my name to it. I've watched more Justin Fields tape than anybody, probably.
Yeah.
And I'm just telling you authentically and truthfully, there's so many issues within his game that if you think in year 4, Shane Waldron or a quarterback coach is going to come in here and fix these things, it's just not true.
But what about with Geno Smith? I mean, there was a player who had been scuffling along for his...
Geno Smith lacks what Justin has. That's athletic ability to escape the pocket, run. Geno was a anticipatory passer coming out of college at, what is it, West Virginia?
West Virginia.
Went to the Giants. He always had the ability to anticipate. He just needed to grow in confidence of that. But he also wasn't the first pick. He wasn't handed the reins with the Giants. He was somebody – the Jets, rather.
He played for both New York teams, but,
yeah, the Jets. Played with the Jets and Giants. Geno's story is much like Rich Gannon's. You know, you journey until you find your confidence and understand that this game is going to be won from the pocket, because Rich Gannon was a wing T, Delaware wing T type of offensive guy. I think he ran a 4.57.
Yeah.
Coming out, he was very athletic, and he just couldn't put it all together. And then after failure and failure, he finally started winning from the pocket and understanding the timing of it. And also, it does come down to system, because I know what system I can help Justin win with, and it wasn't Matt Nagy's. But at some point, you know, watching Luke Getsy's offense, and as Getsy was very poor situationally. But as far as other narratives that these fans are trying to create, like, I've challenged anybody, come on my show, bring your tape, and show me Justin Fields consistently reading 1, 2, and 3 and releasing and anticipating over the middle. He's petrified of the middle of the field. He can't see it. He escapes. And that's what he does. And he is a tremendous athlete, great person, I'm sure, good leader. He has done some great things, but those things aren't going to help you get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They're just not. He might need a humbling. He might need to sit on the bench. Maybe they don't trade him and they keep him and he's with Caleb. Or I don't see that happening. And I know Mike, the source is saying that, but I'm telling you from what I've been told that they're taking Caleb Williams and they're going to trade Justin Fields once the Kirk Cousins domino.
That's the whole thing. Yeah, that's
key right now.
That's a big thing. Like
in Minnesota, then it becomes an open pathway to Atlanta.
Yeah, because even as somebody who loves Justin Fields. And again, I don't take too much when Mike Lombardi, who, you know, has been on record of not liking Justin Fields, of being like, no team in the NFL wants him. Like, well, Lamar Jackson went through the same thing last year. Like, nobody was making a trade for Lamar Jackson. And it just, you know, and they had to bring him back. So don't take that as damning Justin Fields. But at the same time, you know, when you look at the quarterback market out there and you look at Kirk Cousins being available, Russell Wilson is going to be available. If you're a team, you have to really love Justin Fields to be like, I'm going to give you a second for Justin, as opposed to like just bringing in Russell Wilson for free. Let me ask you while you're here, because I think one of the greatest trades the Bears never made was Russell Wilson. We both love Russell Wilson. I'm still not convinced that Russell Wilson's a bad quarterback. I find it hard to believe that he's this bad.
I can just see that in New York. He's left New York. He was just visiting the Giants.
Yeah.
He's on his way to Pittsburgh right now.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to land in a spot right now.
I think Pittsburgh, he's still good.
I'm with you. I have always loved Russell Wilson, even when he came out. So for all the Mac Jones, how about me saying Russell Wilson. That was my guy in that draft. He was my number two ranked quarterback in that draft. I felt like he was going to be something despite his size. He has the ability to action game, be strong in the pocket, and he's always escaping to do what I'm saying about with Caleb, tight rope up the pocket or outside the pocket to find a scramble route deep and anticipate those throws. And that's what his career has been. I just don't think you can go around and just write off what Russell Wilson has done.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of that. I'm with you, though, looking at what Ryan Pace was going to trade for him.
Ooh.
Did you see that?
Well, because I made the comment too, like, we probably would have ruined him the same way that we've botched this situation with Justin Fields. And then I guess it's the Denver fans who come out like, no, like, he's just a bad quarterback now. Like, he's not. No. First of all, like, the Nathaniel Hackett thing was awful. Like, there was no way that was going to work. Sean Payton is very difficult to work with. And if you're not his guy, I know he landed in Denver with Russell Wilson already there, but it's like, you could tell that was a situation where these two guys don't get along. Like, it's just not something. I say this because I want, if Justin is leaving, and by the way, not to blow up anybody who, I'm not going to give up who these people are. But I'm getting texts during the show, like, that tell me the Bears are not keeping Justin Fields.
Yeah.
This is no knock against Bear Down. Cause he heard what he heard. He's not making stuff up. He would not make anything other. He's not doing this for clicks.
He's sharing a source that might be wrong.
We have sources like we
get it wrong sometimes. We have
people who are close to situations who have been wrong before. So don't get upset at Mikey Bear Down, cuz. And listen, we'll bust his chops if Justin Fields gets traded. We'll be making fun of him forever. We'll trade on that for a long time. It'll be like my 49ers 3-13 pick. Things happen. We get things wrong, and it's fine. The Cleveland Browns pick from this year. But I did pick the Texans to beat them in the playoffs. But we're not talking about that. I will. So I'm getting a lot of that right now. But like, Pittsburgh being one of the places I would hope Justin would go to, because I think he'd be given a fair shot. I really do. I'm so ready for the Russell Wilson revenge tour of, like, especially if he goes to Pittsburgh. Like, you think of all the kooks that Mike Tomlin has had to work with throughout the years, where you're like, hey, like, we all thought Antonio Brown was like a normal person until he gets out of the grasp of Mike Tomlin. Like, I would really love to see Russell Wilson in that spot. Although I think the Brian Daboll thing would be interesting too. So I hope that he goes out there and proves everybody wrong.
Listen, I think he would be great wherever he goes. That's, you know, but Pittsburgh with Mike Tomlin, that's a really good landing spot. I was hoping Justin would land there, because that was a guy that I feel like would get and understand. He worked Justin Fields out at his pro day, if we remember, because Justin didn't work out at the combine either. Mike Tomlin ran the Ohio State pro day with Justin Fields that day. I remember it vividly. So there has to be some love there.
For sure.
But as far as what the Steelers are looking for, is clearly a guy that has done it and has been a winner there. They keep sending this smoke out there, Adam, that Kenny Pickett is their starter right now.
Yeah.
But we all know how Mike Glennon was the star. We know this story, right?
Mike Glennon was at a draft party.
They're going to say stuff like that now.
Andy Dalton was supposed to be the starter.
August comes around, and then things kind of change a little bit. So this is where we are. I'm a big Russell Wilson fan with you, and
Steelers
would be a great spot. Justin Fields going to the Steelers. I think listen, I want to go back to this again. I'm sorry. I don't want to cut you off, but I want to say this. Like, honestly, Bear, I'm talking to you Bears fans. I see that you get upset. This is not a knock on Justin Fields.
No.
I'm talking to you.
I am as pro Justin Fields as you can be.
Of football, you have to always try to get better. And the Chicago Bears, since 1940, haven't had a dynamic franchise signal caller. You could argue Jim McMahon. He had swag. He was just hurt.
Well, they also didn't. They also didn't run a passing offense.
And they didn't. But here you are now at the precipice of the great quarter. In my opinion, from my film study, he's the best I've scouted. So I just put my name to that. You can knock that, and you could go listen to 20 other people say. Chris Sims is saying it.
Daniel Jeremiah.
Daniel Jeremiah.
Jeremiah very rarely puts the quarterback as his number one guy in his top 50. Go back and look at it. It's always like some defensive player or somebody else.
It's exactly. And that's all I can go by. So as your GM stands in front of you and has been as transparent and as compassionate And as thorough as he's been, he's done a pretty good job. This guy owned the Chase Claypool mistake and got rid of it. He didn't make excuses. So he stands in front of you and says, I want to do right by Justin. That is not an endorsement of him staying. Okay. That's telling you
he's moving.
This is football talk now. He's moving. We are trading him. We're open. Everybody, we're open. Justin, if you want him, we're open for that because we are taking Caleb Williams. They've done all their work on him. They've talked to so many people, his high school teacher, the principal. I was told a story. One of my buddies is an agent. His USC offensive lineman was undrafted last year. He's trying to get back in the league. I spoke to him. He has nothing to lose by telling me what a bad person Caleb is. He's the utter opposite. He's like, this guy would pay for the water boy. He would pay for the water, like the trainers. He would go out of his way with his NIL money and take care of everybody around him. He was the ultimate teammate, and he was a winner.
What about the bowl game? Because this is one of the things that the Caleb Williams haters love to throw out there. Is like, well, look at the way USC performed in that bowl game without him. They were pumped that he was gone.
USC and Utah, right? Who did they play?
Nah, it was somebody worse than Utah's in the Pac-12. So it wouldn't have been them.
It was the Holiday Bowl.
They played
a decent team. Who did they play? Someone in the chat. Someone's got to remember.
But I wonder if there was a way to look this up.
Someone will remember.
We were doing this today. We were trying to look up.
Louisville, right?
Louisville. That's not a good program.
Okay.
Louisville. No disrespect to any Louisville, to any Cardinal fan out there.
Louisville had several guys off of their team, and USC had several guys. It was a glorified scrimmage out there. It's like a preseason game. I've seen many a quarterback, despite Bryce Young.
Jamarcus Russell?
Yeah. They've stepped away from a bowl game.
Oh, no. I was thinking about guys who've done well in bowl games and you let them.
Oh, okay. Guys that have done. Chuck Knox did well. I mean, what was his name? From Iowa. Oh, my God. I'm aging myself. Chuck Long was MVP, 475 yards in his bowl game. Didn't work out. And that stuff doesn't matter. He decided to not play in the bowl game, and his backup quarterback facing a backup Louisville defense performed adamantly.
Yeah, really well.
And let me just say this too, Adam. Me and Shane have debunked the Notre Dame mess.
How do you debunk the Notre Dame mess?
We brought the whole game.
Yeah.
Game tape, not the broadcast. We went USC versus Notre Dame. Let's watch the game. And we watched every play. And two out of the three interceptions that he threw were on his team, not on him. One interception was terrible. And you know what? That's going to happen. But his second half performance. So this guy threw three interceptions against Notre Dame. He threw five on the season. Let's stop with the bull. The reality is the numbers after Notre Dame, where he supposedly lost his level, is outstanding. 1,600 yards passing, 7 touchdowns, 1 interception. And listen, the crying, I want to address that too.
Oh, yeah. There was the kind of person that you would expect living in Huntington Beach having this kind of opinion about Caleb Williams crying.
First of all, that Washington game, this kid, supposedly he lost it after maybe Sammy or Anello can look up Caleb Williams' passing numbers in the Washington game. This kid played with everything in his power. His team, if his defense let up over 41 points, the prospects of them winning wasn't good. He was 8-5.
Yeah.
He was 8-0. When they hold a team under 38 points. So let's stop with all the
money. That is my favorite.
He's got no first round talent on offense going in this draft. None. despite what, you know, Jerry Rice's
son.
Probably be a fourth round pick, maybe fifth.
Yep.
But, and maybe the running back. I know Daniel Jeremiah is high on their running back. Maybe he goes in the second round. So we'll give him the running back. He's a good, talented kid. I don't have him that high, but that's it. The other, Taj Washington, the receiver, he's all right. He's a sly. He's going to go in the fifth or sixth round. Someone's going to take a shot on him. But this is what he's playing with, and he's dealing out there.
Yeah.
So at the end of the game, in a close battle, where if you actually watch the game tape, Adam, they score a touchdown.
I watched the game. Yeah, well, I was watching the game live.
They score a touchdown to win, to take the lead with like 38 seconds or whatever it was, a minute 20, whatever it was. Up holding on USC. So it brings that touchdown back. Then they're running out. They do a late hit out of bounds. Jerry Rice's kid gets leveled out of bounds on a dime ball going on the left side. No flag. So now it's third. They lose the game, right? The emotion's there. He wanted to win. That's going to propel him or whatever.
Yeah.
The rivalry. This is the number, you know, they went to the national championship, Washington. So you see your mom after you've let everything out on the field, and you have an emotional moment with your mom. Maybe she was emotional. I don't know about you. Think about this as a man or woman listening to the show. But if I come to the sideline and I have, and my mom is crying, I might start crying too.
Yeah.
And that emotion that I just left everything on the field. That's all I'm saying. You can't just go there.
Here are the numbers. Sammy just gave us the numbers from the US or from the Washington game.
Yes.
27 of 35.
Yep.
312 yards.
Yep.
Three touchdown passes and one rushing touchdown.
Okay.
Against the team that was in the national championship game.
Did he lose his skill after Notre Dame? That's 3 weeks later.
No, he was still very good.
And what, Adam? They went to what? The national championship game.
They did go to the national championship game, that Washington squad.
And Washington will have several players drafted in the first two rounds of this draft.
USC has a bunch of guys who will be in Enterprise commercials being like, yeah, I used to play football at SC. Now I'm renting cars, asking you if you want the damage waiver. there'll be a lot of dudes at Cassidy's in Newport Beach being like, oh, yeah, I played ball with Caleb Williams. You're 26. What are you doing now? Like, oh yeah, I'm selling insurance for John Hancock or whomever.
And before you take any shots or whatever, you think
Who's taking shots at?
Not you. I'm talking about
taking a shot at it.
No. Sammy, one more question. Can you look up Justin Fields versus Northwestern?
Don't do this.
No, it's to showcase.
I understand.
Talented quarterback.
But we're doing
bad games.
Yeah,
but
it makes Justin good. Find a bad game of Aaron Rodgers. No, don't do that. No, it happens. Actually, I will use a more recent example of somebody who's killing it in the NFL right now, which is Justin Herbert, who, when you watched him play Auburn, like I said this coming into the draft, and I was, funny enough, like I really love Jordan Love coming into the draft. But with Justin Herbert, I'm like, big games. Like he's like, that's difficult. Like we've seen him not play well in big games. And then you realize like Oregon never has good pro receivers. Like they just don't. Maybe this year will be the exception, but like they don't do it.
Right.
And it's very, you get yourself caught up into these games where like, what is this? I don't know. I just, when you think of like, you know, if you're good in the Pac-12 or a Power Five or somebody like that, it's better than trying to like will yourself into thinking that Drake May is a good quarterback Drake May. Like we're like, hey, look,
Drake May right away.
Look at this stuff against Pittsburgh. Like, stop it. Don't show me. Like, if you're not going to accept what Caleb Williams is doing against Washington, you cannot use a Drake May tape against Pittsburgh and be like, we'll see. I'm like, nope, I'm not going to hear it. But speaking of Justin Herbert, he's going to be playing for Jim Harbaugh. We're very jealous. Yes. You and I both love Jim Harbaugh. I want to show you one picture though. Listen, Jim Harbaugh is not going to be our coach, and it is what it is. And by the way, stop saying that Jim Harbaugh played for the LA Chargers. He never did. He played for the San Diego Chargers. Completely.
I haven't said any of that.
But I want to show you a photo. Sam, do we have this photo, right? From a recent Marquette game.
Oh, yeah.
I know. Listen, I got to be honest with you. First of all, I know that people get upset about this. And it's like, listen, Halas and Lombardi hung out. Like, I'm sure of it. Like, you can still hate each other. I feel, though, and I want to get, I know, listen, I know how you felt about Matt Nagy. I feel that the glow up for Matt Ebert, look at him. He looks completely different. He is like Brandon Walsh
from The Walking Dead, bro.
Brandon Walsh in season 4 of Beverly Hills 90210 compared to season 1. Like, it's a very, like, he's kind of owning it. And he's sitting there drinking a cocktail. Matt LaFleur is sitting there eating popcorn. I feel much more confident right now.
What truly happened in that moment was Eberflus whispered to him and said, LaFleur, get your popcorn ready because we're getting Caleb. That was the conversation there. That's what no, but he does look.
Listen, he's more, a changed man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I got confidence in him now.
My guy, Lawrence Funk, the Bears barber.
Yeah. He
gave him that nice fresh fade. Yeah.
You tell Funk that he keep it up because I love it.
I will tell him. I'll text him right after the show here. I'll text the Bears.
Let him know, because we've seen, you know what, some of these older guys, you know, we see Bill Belichick didn't usually wear a ball cap.
Yep.
Pete Carroll didn't wear ball caps. Like, I'm usually put off by coaches not wearing ball caps. Although when I coach, when I coach my squad right there, I never wear a ball cap because I don't want to be compared to like Pep or any of those guys. Like, I go out and do it. Like, if Mikel Arteta does not wear a ball cap, I don't either. I want him to be the like guy, like the glow pitch up. Yeah, exactly. Matt Nagy. Yeah, I can't do the Matt Nagy. I can never wear a visor again because of Matt Nagy. He ruined it for bald guys. I have trouble. I mean, I still got to put the suntan lotion on.
You wear a flat brim hats well, and you wear curved brim hats well.
Yeah, so I got a trucker.
Your hat versatile.
Yeah, you know what? It depends on whether I'm doing the sunglasses or not. But listen, we're gonna wrap it up here. We're approaching an hour. This was a fun little. I was hoping because when we came on, I don't know if you heard it or this is how you came in, but I was like, hey, like if any of our regulars, because we just decided like let's go on. We reached out to Mikey Beardown because. I just wanted to talk to him. And again, like don't attack the man. His sources saying this. Phil's got sources. During this show,
you're getting
hit up by multiple people.
Big sources. People.
Good people. Like people who are, I'm like, okay.
They're very connected people. He's getting.
Everybody's connected, but it's but it feels like and again, this is what I said for earlier in the show before you came on. Like the fact that Justin Fields is going to be kept around does not necessarily mean that Caleb Williams is not going to be drafted. I think that it just feels like they've committed to that and there's no way to get off of it. And it's not like the Bears are moving up 4 spots to try to get Caleb Williams. Like you're presented with this opportunity. I've mentioned this before too. Like the return that you could get for Caleb Williams would be incredible. Generation of draft picks and everything. But at some point, you still need the quarterback. So
I always say this. The Hall is Caleb because he's the future franchise quarterback. In a passing league, I've never scouted a better young college quarterback coming out than we have this year. We've been gifted.
Yeah.
And if that's it. And if
this is free money. This is house money.
Free money. This is really an opportunity for the Chicago Bears. I always talk about it. It's 1995 was the last time I ever felt like our quarterback was going to go out there no matter what, who was injured, what if Jeff Graham's out, this guy, he's going to go out there and deal. And your offense was going to be successful on that given day. That was the
what about
last
Kramer?
Time in my life. Yeah, Eric Kramer, that one year we had that. And, you know, that fell flat. And that's fine. Dave Wanstead, we all know that story. But the reality,
by the way, I'm getting through this book, by the way. We're going to have Eric Kramer on in the next couple of weeks. Once I finish this.
He's a great dude.
Love him.
So do I. The reality, though, Bears fans, just get behind what your GM, he made an amazing decision last year. He assessed the quarterback situation, due diligence, and made the trade, securing a Carolina's first round pick that ultimately won you the lottery this year. You have the first pick. Now you can get Caleb Williams, and we'll see where Justin goes. But I think it's going to all bear down on that Kirk Cousins decision. Is he going to go with his wife to Kohl's in Atlanta, or is he going to stay in Minnesota there? I believe he's going to stay in Minnesota. What do you?
It's too risky for me to go to Atlanta. If I'm Kirk Cousins, and I say what you will about him, and I know that we love making fun of him and things like that. I genuinely like Kirk Cousins. Like he's a good player. He's fine. I think that he's going to do, I think he's also like made enough money to be like, hey, like make my deal enough so we can keep Justin Jefferson. Now I've suggested that the Vikings trade Justin Jefferson. If you're not going to keep Kirk Cousins, then you might as well trade Justin Jefferson and blow up the whole thing. But if you're going to keep Kirk Cousins and you got to make his deal work with Justin Jefferson so he can be signed, so you have him and Jordan Addison and TJ Hawkinson and that whole thing, and like give it another go. I don't know if you're going to be able to bring back Danielle Hunter, but whatever. Go with that. If I'm Kirk Cousins, I would go with, I would stay with Atlanta. I would stay with Minnesota because I feel more comfortable with the coach.
I agree with you. That's where I think, especially at your age, stay with what you know instead of going somewhere new and then all of a sudden that falls flat. There's no allegiance or loyalty. There's no understanding. I believe the coaches from Minnesota want him to stay badly, and I think you're right. He's made enough money to kind of circumvent the contract with the cap and keeping that elite receiver with him. And that'll be the selling point that the GM, I don't know, the GM is so odd there.
Yeah.
The GM is real quick though. Let's talk. I believe Danielle Hunter will be a Chicago Bear come next week. Do you have one guy that you believe?
I believe it's going to be Christian Wilkins.
You're going inside. I went outside.
I feel like
either one, I'm happy.
When it drops, when we're able to announce deals, one of the first deals announced will be the Bears signing a defensive lineman. And it's going to be immediate, like the Larry Ogunjobi situation, where it's like, it's going to be like one of the first ones that drop. And I'm going with Christian Wilkins because of going back to what happened with Larry and that not being able to work out and still kind of like searching for that. And you know that the Bears could still be in play for Dallas Turner at number 9. And then all of a sudden you have Montez Sweat. You've got Wilkins.
I like Jared Verse over. But Shane has your guy, Dallas.
Okay. So I will
let either way. Scout
that. Yeah, I will let the people who scout that determine that. But
I like your pick. I like what you're doing. Wilkins would be inside. I love it, Adam. The reality of that, getting a 3 technique. Justin Jones, he might sign for a lower deal. You keep him in there, but this Wilkins would be a huge upgrade at the 3 technique. And a guy that I really thought was overdrafted, and I was completely, the kid just worked his tail off, and that's Dexter, Gervon Dexter. Yeah. He really showed, you know, hopefully he continues that ascension, but he really,
I think having the great players around him too is going to help.
Yes.
If you bring in a little bit of help, Dexter gets an opportunity to continue to grow. And it goes back to all those teams that always have good defensive lines. There's the superstars, but it's those unheralded guys. Like, look at how great Leonard Floyd became when he went to Los Angeles and was playing alongside with Aaron Donald. Like, oh, now this looks like a player who was the number 9 overall pick in the draft, as opposed to being the guy who needed to be the number 1 dude when he was in Chicago.
Well, Leonard always was a product of a scheme where you're doing TE games and freeing him up. If he has free and a twist, and he can, that's where his skill set. If you locked on him, you can control him. So when they had an interior, to your point, like Aaron Donald and some of the beasts they had surrounding him, you know, because they've had a lot of defensive tackles offset from Aaron Donald that are strong point of attack players, from Ashawn Robinson and a bunch of them anyway. Leonard Floyd's his real skill set, aside from speed up the edge, is that twist game and coming underneath on a stunt and becoming free. That's where he's like a relief pitcher for the pass rush.
Yeah,
like Mark Anderson when we had him. You remember?
Of course,
he had one trick. So it's all good, man. I'm excited about this. Free agency's right around the corner. I thank the guys for texting me to come jump.
Yeah, no, you. Really stoked that you're able to come on. Really appreciate that.
I just happened to be home today and not at work with the sick little boy. Sure.
Well, I hope he gets better.
He's better. He's better.
Okay. And then are you doing your show tomorrow, your Patreon show?
Well, I'm going to do that on Sunday. I'm going to take a look at a new offensive lineman, Ryan Bates. To show you why he will be the starting center for the Bears.
Oh, no. Are we doing this again?
I'm just telling you. I'll say this.
Listen, we saw this with Lucas Patrick, and it did not work out.
This is not a Lucas Patrick type of guy. This is an athlete that can move and get to the point of attack. Buffalo, sometimes you're blessed with other talent around him. Mitch Morse, I know he's been cut. He was good, and that's all he could do is play center, Morse. So sometimes on your offensive line, you got to make a choice. And if you're just as good as center, but that's his job, then you might be the rotational piece. Listen, there was an identified factor in Ryan Pohl signing Ryan Bates right out the gate last year, two years ago. It was two years ago. They identified him as a starting center for their football team. So you think 2 years later, they trade a fifth round pick because I obviously identify Chris Morgan is involved in this decision, and we'll see how, and I'll show you his tape. There's a lot to like on his tape. What I'll be doing this Sunday. And then Monday, we're going to take a look at some defensive linemen in the draft. So it should be great.
All right. So anybody who wants to learn more about Ryan Bates and his role, I'm skeptical, but I'm willing to give it an open mind. I will be checking it out on Sunday. Give that a look. Want to thank you once again for being here. And thanks to everybody who joined us here live. We've started to, we usually record these, but we decided to, turn this live today with everything that was going on. We got close to 7,000 viewers on Twitter, which was amazing. So we appreciate each and every one of you joining in. And of course, the Draft Dr. Phil and our guys, Sammy Nanello, behind the scenes. Thank you so much. So until Sunday, you can go join him. There it is. Yeah. There it is. Sunday, go join him. But we'll see you next week, unless something breaks. But until that time, bear down. And Sammy, go ahead and play us out.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast with Adam Rank on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts.